Welcome to the Life Church Auburn Hills Sermon Podcast. We're a multicultural community being transformed and empowered by the grace, truth, and love of Jesus. We hope that you are encouraged and challenged by this week's message.
Good morning. My name is Marcia. I am very excited to be here this morning. It is our second Sunday of Advent. And Advent may be new for some of you. Some of you, all you know about Advent is my girls love the cheapest chocolate cardboard box thing. It's like $2, but they're like, it's the best thing ever. I'm like, that is not even good chocolate. But it happens. But there's an Advent thing. I'm doing this because that's what it looks like. And they can pop out a different chocolate every day to remind them that Christmas is on its way. And we are celebrating that this morning with Advent. Advent, if it's completely new to you, I want to let you know it means arrival in Latin. To arrive, to come. And that's all we're doing. We are preparing our hearts, we're preparing our lives to celebrate the entry of Jesus into our world, which is pretty exciting. How we're going to do that here at Life Church, we're going to have a family come. This morning it's Alethea and her girls, Zadi and Charlie, who are life students with us. We are going to read a passage that shares a little bit of that story of Jesus' arrival in the world, and we're going to light our second candle, which will remind us of Jesus being the light in the world in our darkness.
Good morning. Today we are lighting the second candle of Advent, which symbolizes faith. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until he gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus.
And that's our first stepfather.
All right. Thank you, ladies. Before I get started this morning, I wanted to interject a small word, and I want to remind all of you, our staff here at Life Church Auburn Hills, I just want to give a public thank you. They are incredible. Don Earl, our executive pastor, Young, I don't see you now, Cam, our co-founder, they have spoken life into me, and they are a large part of why I'm here today, and I just think they deserve a hand, and thank you. I was reading these notes last night with my husband, and I had this great opening line. "Have you ever been afraid?" And I was going to go into how ridiculous that question was, but then he answered me, "No, of course not. I've never been afraid." But we could only laugh because, of course, he's been afraid. We have all been afraid. I'm a mother. I think my two girls, we're going to put up there in a second, they are 12 and almost 10, Allie and Samantha. And from a really young age, fear is a part of their lives. I got to hold their hands, give them hugs, and often stay late into the night with them because their feelings of fear were very real. I also was afraid for them. Right? I was afraid of those small hands. What if they let go? What if they went into traffic? Every time I speak of this, it's a little bit of this. Like, we love our children, we want to protect them, and we're afraid for their health, for their future, for their education. Aside from that, obviously I have had my own fears. The fear of hurting relationships, fear of failure, fear of not being good enough. And I know you've had those feelings too. Sometimes we look at an uncertain future and we don't know what's going to happen. And fear can grip us in those moments and keep us from opportunities that God has for us. They can hold us still, unable to make decisions and afraid to take the next step that God is calling us to. We don't want to live there. The good news is, on the wish list of Jesus this morning is courage for each of us. There's a present under the tree that is from God to you that is a gift of courage. I'm going to unwrap that a little bit this morning, but that courage is a courage that empowers us, empowers you to live the life that God has meant for you to live. Let me pray. Father, thank you for all you've given us. Thank you for loving us and for knowing us and for this gift of courage as we face fear. You are with us. I pray that you help us to listen to what you have to say to us this morning. In your name, amen. There are three gifts of courage I'm going to start to unwrap a little bit for us this morning. The first of which is the courage to forgive. This little package we see at the beginning of our passage with Joseph, and I don't want you to miss it. It's before the angel comes. It's right here at the beginning. Let's read this again. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Let's take a look at where Joseph was in this moment. The custom of marriage was different there. They were arranged marriages, the lineage being protected and families growing and having families was more important than romantic notions. So Joseph and Mary, their families had negotiated their union. Now that doesn't mean they didn't have eyes for each other, but we don't know that. We do know that plans were moving forward. They had entered into a pledge, an engagement time, a betrothal, if you want to use the big word. That meant that his family had given her family a gift, and they were getting ready to go. Joseph was preparing a home for them, and Mary was preparing for her wedding. Somehow, in the midst of that, Joseph got wind of some news. He found out that his betrothed was expecting. There's no way that could not have been devastating news. Why would Mary do that? What was going to happen to his future? If he had any care for her as he prepared to marry her, what would happen to her future? And what we find is that he did have care for her. His actions showed a heart of forgiveness in the midst of his pain. We know that Joseph followed the law, but honestly, we don't know a ton about Joseph. We know he was the lineage of David and he followed the law. But we get a little peek here in his response to Mary that he also understood a God who forgives. The Messiah that was about to come, who was going to tell everyone his news that he was coming to forgive the sins. It's almost like he had a little peek into that already. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." And Joseph was already stepping into that. I say today, the message of God's forgiveness and grace in our lives is what gives us the courage to forgive others. This move of Joseph to cover her sin and not to shame her, that spoke of a love then that didn't make sense, and it kind of speaks of a love now that doesn't make sense. Adultery. I hope that that hasn't been a part of any of your lives, but I know statistically it may have. if that did not happen, we still have all been hurt by others. There's no way around that. In our culture, adultery means dragging a name through the mud. It's on Facebook. It's horrific, and it's public. In Joseph's time, that being public had an even added sense of shame. It was even deeper and greater. In fact, by the letter of the law, which Joseph knew very well, Mary could have been stoned. By the time in Jewish history at that time, it wasn't often, but Joseph had every right to call her out and call her to the carpet. But instead, he chose to love her and forgive her and quiet her shame. What an example for each of us. Like, it's hard. It takes courage to not want to speak your pain and your discomfort when people wrong you. But the courage God gives us, because he has forgiven us, is to forgive and to cover their shame. It's a big call, and it's a big package to unwrap, but I didn't want to miss it there. Joseph, even before the angel came, was a man who was honoring God by forgiving Mary. Now, the good news is that an angel did step in the story and set things straight, because Mary had indeed not intentionally wronged him, which is even better news. Let's look at our next package, the courage to believe. When the angel stepped in, let's just read the passage again. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Joseph's first actions, although admirable and courageous, and anyone would think of him as noble and a man of great character for doing it, we could generally understand that he was acting out of love. What the angel is asking him to do here is a little bit of a bigger story. He's asking him to marry Mary and to look a fool. The reason why is because the child that Mary is going to birth was conceived by the Holy Spirit and is very God himself, the Messiah you have been waiting for. Some people are not going to believe him. In fact, some people still don't believe it. It is a difficult message that we still wrestle with. I am thankful that I have gotten to live into this message, to know and believe that God is who he says he is. But that's not what everybody thinks. The angel was calling Joseph specifically to step into a role that would cause him to look a fool. And the only way he could move forward with courage was to believe with everything he had in a God that he can trust. I believe God still speaks to us. God still speaks to us. It's in his word. He has plainly given us instructions on how to live our lives. And when we believe that and step into that, that he has clear instructions and he means the best for us, it gives us the courage to follow his path. But he also steps into our lives with the message of the Holy Spirit sometimes. For me, it's hard to describe, but sometimes it's a nudge. Sometimes it's a conviction. Sometimes it's, wow, this happened and this happened and this happened, and there can't all be coincidences, and God is, it looks like God's leading me down this path. We don't all get visions like Joseph had. You know, angels don't visit all that often. They just don't. I'm glad they do sometimes, but we're not going to bank on that. We can bank on his word, but also the still voice of the Holy Spirit still speaks into people's lives. Sometimes in what seems like an insignificant way that we don't understand, and other times God is calling us to take huge steps, to leave our jobs, leave our careers, to step out in faith for a new sacrifice. Only because we have a God that we can trust and the God that has a plan for us can we, with courage, step into what he's calling us to do and believe. I thought back to different times that I have sensed God urging me to do one thing or another. One of those times was ridiculously small. And I was a mom. I was out running errands. And on my list was stop by the gymnastics place. Stop by the gymnastics center to rearrange something. I don't even remember what it was. And I was like, no, but it's going to be closed. I'm not going to do that today. I just kept having this nudge. No. You need to go to the gymnastics center. I'm like, okay, God, I guess I'm going to go to the gymnastics center. And guess what? I pull into the parking lot, and the gymnastics center is closed. I knew it was closed, God. I don't know why I'm here. And I pull around in the parking lot, and then I look over an empty parking lot, and behind the dumpster, this is an industrial park area, behind the dumpster, a woman walks out. I was like, well, that's kind of odd, right? And I kind of am assessing the situation. And eventually I pull over and I get out and I go up and I talk to her. And apparently that day, that woman was the cleaner of the gymnastics center. Her sister had dropped her off. She had left the building and had gone to take out the trash. And it was very cold outside. She was hiding behind the dumpster because she had forgotten her keys inside the building. She was essentially stranded and was going to be hours before someone came to her. And I said, what is going on here? God, this was this tiny little thing, this thing that didn't make sense. But here I am. I've pulled into the parking lot, and I get to see right away why you sent me there and what it can speak into in this situation. I ended up lending her my coat. She sat in the van with me for a while. She made some phone calls. She found somebody that could come get her. And I walked away with a renewed faith, right? Like, who is this guy, right? There's another time that also initially, well, that was not insignificant to me, but others may have considered it not a big deal. And it was my oldest daughter's choice of school when we were deciding where she was going to go to school. And when we moved into Auburn Hills, where we were situated, our assigned school was not the closest school. We live in a district that we could choose any of the elementaries in that district by request, most likely. The districts next to us were open. Every neighbor I met that year and discussed, oh, hey, where do your kids go to school? They all had a different answer. There was from here to there for different reasons. And so I had the task of researching this direction or another direction. Not only that, our daughter was on the younger side. So it was within parental decisions. Do we go this year or next year, right? I interneted that one, right? This teacher says this, that teacher says that, this is going on in Texas, that's going on in New York. I may have fueled some of my anxiety about my child starting school into this really deep research into do we do it now or and where do we go? I visited the schools and I prayed. I prayed a lot because there were so many unknowns and so many opinions and points in different directions. In the end, really shortly before school began, it was in prayer that I had this deep sense of peace about where to move forward. That hasn't happened all that often where it was a completely 100% confident, this is God telling me, I need to go here and I need to go now, right? It may have been against what my in-laws were thinking. It may have been against what my mom told me, right? And I didn't even have any good explanation for them. I was like, guys, honestly, this is a step of faith. I have been praying about this. There are too many unknowns, but I really do think this is what God's telling us to do. He's saying, you need to go to the school you're assigned to, and you need to go this year. I said, okay. When we walked into the welcome room for kindergarten parents that year, honestly, I want to say it was almost instant. Honestly, it was within a few minutes of walking into that room. God gave us confirmation. It's pretty cool when he does that. He doesn't have to, right? We're just asked to obey. But walking into that room, I had confirmation that this is indeed where he had led us. You see, on that morning, I didn't realize the significance at the time, but that was the morning that I met Don Earl and Janetta Johnson, right? It was years later where the fact that we came that year was pretty significant, as she started the same year as their daughters, and they have a deep and lasting friendship. I didn't know them. I'd seen them before at a previous church. So honestly, just seeing them there was a bit of encouragement to me. But there was also another couple there that morning. It was Dan and Amanda Sadler. And some of you know them, not all of you know them, but Dan and Amanda Sadler were, he had been a teaching pastor at the church we were attending. I had followed their family for a while, and we'd met previously. And I'm like, what are they doing here in our elementary school, right? So I went up and I talked to them, and I said, well, you know, we greeted and hello. And I said, you know, why are you here in Auburn Hills? And he's like, well, Amanda and I, we left our home in Detroit, and we came here because we're preparing to plant a new church in New York City. I said, really? Well, that's pretty cool. My husband and I just came from New York City, right? We had, in our family's journey, had spent nearly two years in New York City. We'd worshiped there. We came back when the economy got better here for auto engineers. And I said, oh, that's pretty cool. And he said, well, where did you worship there? And I told him where we worshiped. And he said, oh, the pastor I am partnering with when I go to New York City is Drew Hune. Drew Hune was the first pastor I met at the first Sunday of church in New York City approximately 2 years before. New York City is a really big place, right? So within 10 minutes of walking in and acting in faith on our decision to go to that school, I meet a family whose God had been directing their life to go back to a place where I just went. And guess what? They were planting a church in the Evangelical Covenant Church. We don't talk about that very often, but that is indeed the denomination of Life Church Auburn Hills. And there was no way I could have known the plans that God was orchestrating, right? I was just figuring out what kind of school. We want a good school. We want something healthy for them. I wanted to go at the right time, but God said, no, I want you to step into this school, but actually I want to change your family's life through this school, through obeying me. God, we can believe in a God who has a plan for our life that we don't always see it. We don't know where it's going to go. We don't always understand why he's leading us a particular way. When we hear his call, we need to be discerning, right? We need to do our due diligence. We need to speak to others into our lives. But ultimately, if it's not going against his word, we need to follow those nudges of the Holy Spirit when he asks us to take the next step. Some of you may already know what God wants you to take, that next step, what he wants you to take, and you're on the edge. And I want to encourage you to have the faith to believe and to step into that. Others of you, really, this is your time that you need to be more open and keep your eyes open for that nudging of the Holy Spirit in your life, whether it's take this route home, right? Maybe it's go up and meet that person. I was, I have to leave that alone. I just saw the clock. Yeah. But God is asking each of us to follow him and to believe, and he wants to give you the gift of courage that you can believe him because he has a plan for your life. The last gift I think we need to unwrap is not one I like. Well, I like it, but I don't want it. It's true. It's the courage when life is hard, right? I want the courage. I don't want the hard life. Yeah. The reality is, though, that we live in a broken world. Whether it's from choices we've made in the past or the sin in the world around us, sometimes you find yourself facing challenges that seem insurmountable, right? Sometimes life gets really, really hard, and it is then that we most need the courage of God to get through it. The message that Jesus gave to Joseph is the same message we can hang on to in the midst of our pain and suffering, and that is that God is coming into the world, Emmanuel, and that he is with us. It is only him who can give you the strength beyond yourself to face life difficulties. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our suffering, he comes alongside of us. He says, I will comfort you. I will bring you joy, even when you can't see how that is possible. Prayer in the midst of our storms is one of the strongest, I'm going to say tools, but it's also another gift we have for getting through those storms. Many years ago, I was given the idea of ACTS. Adore, confess, give thanks, and supplication. Make requests. And honestly, it's when I am at the highest anxiety in any given moment that this has made the most impact on my prayer life. Because it starts with the notion that you enter into prayer adoring. What is adoration? Adoration is proclaiming who God is in your life, in the world. It's proclaiming that he knows it all. He is bigger than the problems I'm facing, and that he loves us and he came and he died for us. When I start my prayer thinking about who God is, it reorients my mind and my thoughts. That's when I declare with faith that he is the one who is going to bring me through whatever I'm facing this morning. The band is going to come. They have come. They're starting to come. I don't know what kind of courage you need this morning. I'm pretty sure that I need all of them. I need the courage to forgive in a loving way that honors even those who have wronged me. I need the courage to believe. I don't always listen to the nudges either, right? I need the courage to have my eyes open and listen for when the Holy Spirit is telling me to step in faith. For you, it might even be a 3C friendship, right? For some of you, it is still uncomfortable to step into a relationship with somebody who's very different from you, that has a different experience than you. And it takes courage to take the first step and to discuss life, to understand where you intertwine, right? As a part of who God has created us to be. And some of you just need help unwrapping the gift of courage in the midst of a difficult life. He's here. He's with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. He's come to save us, and he's come to walk alongside of us. In a few moments, I'm going to pray, but I also want to let you know that after the service, we do have a prayer team that's going to be right over here, and maybe you need some extra prayer to come over and say, boy, I'm really struggling with how someone has hurt me. Maybe you haven't received God's forgiveness to help you know you're worthy to step forward with courage. We are unworthy. It is his forgiveness that allows us to step into others' lives and forgive. Maybe you need help with your next big step that God's been saying, let's go, let's make this move. I've got a plan for you. You can trust me and you can move forward with courage. Maybe you just need to take a moment and receive the gift of courage, of his love, that he's walking with you and he can give you the strength through whatever hardship you're facing this morning. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you that you have come and you've entered this space this morning and you've said, I have a gift for you. Look up, be of good cheer, and have faith, have courage that I'm with you and I love you. In your name we pray.
Thank you for listening. If you want to learn more about us, visit us online at lifechurchauburnhills.org.